Crowdfunding is a practice where you collect, you raise money on the internet. So we have heard of a lot of platforms like GoFundMe. In India, you have Impact Guru and various other, platforms that we'll be talking about, where funding can be raised for noble enterprises and which can help the backbone of a social enterprise where going forward, they want to deploy, they want to have a sustainable, they want to have sustainable business model, which is putting purpose in people and planet before profit. And also, this is a business model where they are not being pressured to return money. See, repayment pressure with any kind of loans, etc., repayment is a huge element. Now, repayment pressure can sometimes really get companies to go belly up. So, for example, there was a very interesting social enterprise called Paintbox in Regent Park area of one of the American cities. And their USP was, they had become very popular. Their USP was that, they bought fresh food to an area which was largely underprivileged, where majority of the people population of the area were immigrants, and immigrants who were unemployed and not really being able to take care of themselves or their families. So Paintbox was a very nice venture which brought in fresh food to these communities, brought in employment. But recently they have announced that they are shutting down. Now, whether it is a funding issue, whether it's any other issue, but we will see a lot of examples also of su successful social enterprises who that for whatever reasons have had to wind up. So another platform is Miles for Migrants. Miles for Migrants was started with a very interesting innovative idea where what they did was that people accumulate air miles and then either they use those for reward flights or for various other purchases, but very often the miles just lapse, So the founders of Miles for Migrants started this venture where they started appealing to people to donate their miles because I think miles can be transferred too, and donate their miles, and they use these donated miles to book flights for migrants across the world to take them out of conflict zones, to take them to reunite them with their families, to create genuine good for people who really had no hope. And the idea of this, you can get an idea of the success of Miles for Migrants, where they partnered with 70 NGOs. So 70 NGOs bought into their idea and helped them to identify potential beneficiaries, play out the whole reunion. They booked tickets worth, now just from this donated miles, they booked tickets worth more than $16 million. They impacted people across 104 countries and took them to safer zones, reunited them with their families. Fantastic idea, did so well, and yet if you go on their page now, they have put up a notice that they are winding up due to, they are thanking people for the support they have received, but unfortunately, they are winding up their project now. So, what is, I mean, I don't know the reason behind winding this up. Is it funding? Is it, political? Now, we also have to acknowledge that right now, the US is undergoing a very, very volatile political change, political environment where it's not very conducive to people coming in, especially the undocumented ones and also even the existing undocumented ones. And I'm not going to get into the politics of what is right and wrong and but purely from a point of view of helping refugees in an environment which is right now fairly close to this kind of thought. So it could be so many of these elements. You know, when we look at pestle analysis, when we look at various other analysis, we'll see how elements right from funding to politics, etc., impact social enterprises and, you know, how they assume significance. There are various models which we are going to be touching on. There are so many, you know, different strategies. For example, it could be a brick and mortar entity. It could be an e-commerce entity. Now, you have an entity like Hakla, which is actually an e-commerce entity, which ended up generating more than 1 million in revenue, actually, which is an e-commerce venture for products which are, you know, created by families who have kids who are special need kids. So they are providing employment to these, you know, family members. At the same time, the proceeds are going towards helping these children in need. So you could have a model which is an e-commerce model like this. You could have a brick and mortar model, model. You could have an idea where there's this idea where, which is called I Was a Sari, this venture, where old saris are taken and recycled into new fashion outfits, you know. So you have so many models. Now, again, when I have been talking about communicating, giving credibility to your entity, then that becomes very important through podcasts, through press releases, through networking events, through documentaries. So another very popular documentary called Before the Flood is actually produced and narrated by Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, the minute he comes into the picture, obviously, the awareness comes in because of who he is. Now, in this, he is talking to world leaders across countries about global warming, about what is happening to the climate. He even interviews the Pope. He interviews Barack Obama. And he is talking about the urgency to address these issues. So, various entities would have collabed with him, various entities, enterprises who are involved in the climate aspect of social impact. So you have to find your breed, you know, you have to find who your values connect with. Now, in the past, Leonardo DiCaprio, he starred in the movie Blood Diamonds, which, of course, you know, narrated the whole story of these diamonds coming in from conflict zones, which created a lot of awareness about this whole blood diamond concept and would have definitely helped those entities which are in the business of ethical diamonds. So collabing with someone, a celebrity who you know has a special place in his heart for this, your goal. So this impact investing, the whole methodology that you use, you have to find your breed and people who align their values to their values. Now, we are also, when we are talking about this, let's talk about mentorship and handholding. While funding is important, while collabs are important, there is this venture called College Forward, which then eventually changed its name to College Possible, which started working in the US with people from communities where they didn't go to college, or went to college and dropped out, did not either access college education or did not complete. Now, there could be various reasons why they couldn't complete, because, you know, they had to drop out to take care of their families or, various other issues. So they worked with these students to handhold them, to, you know, support them, because very often it's a matter of someone guiding you and handholding you and mentoring you and supporting you through that process. If you feel isolated and you have no community to help you, no one to guide you, you're not going to get back into the game. But if there's someone with the resources helping you, guiding you through this, then that can help you to get back, to stay motivated enough, to not give in to insecurities, to go through and finish your college degrees. So they have helped more than 1 lakh students across impacted more than 1 lakh. So you don't know what the motivations are. Money is important, but a lot of times it's the support and handholding and innovative thinking which actually can lead to positive. There is no dearth of the purpose which drives entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial communities to unleash their social impact. For example, you have Sekkim, which is trying to reclaim, which is involved in positive impact on the farming side and for small farmers outside in Egypt. And they are trying to reclaim 170 acres of desert land outside Cairo so for positive use for the people. So again, a purpose of people and planet. You have a venture called Clean Canteen, which is basically a counter to your one-time use of plastics and trying to counter that. Now, when I was talking about the B Corp certification, B Labs, B Corp certification, Cotswold Fair in UK is considered one of the first, first few organizations to get this B Corp certification. And they are stocking more than 400, products. They are stocking thousands of products in their in stores, which are sourced in a sustainable manner. They are dealing with suppliers who are working in a sustainable manner. And see, when you are B Corp certified, then across the chain you are working in an impactful manner for the people and the planet. So what they're also doing is that they are encouraging their suppliers also to get B Corp certified, because that really ensures credibility in terms of your across your supply chain that everything is being handled in a socially conscious manner. And almost 60 to 70 suppliers of theirs have actually gone and got B Corp certified. So while we are talking about small grassroots levels, we are also talking about large corporates who are extremely conscious about this. A lot of corporations have taken on the 1% for the planet oath, which is, dedicate 1% of your sales, 1% of your revenue, 1% of, various things to saving the planet. So there are a lot of these initiatives across which give you an idea of the purpose behind these ventures. Collaborations are extremely important because collaborations help you to not have to wind up. Collaborations help you to reduce your costing requirements, your funding requirements. Collaborations help you to understand the community as well. See, when you want to start working in a certain area or community, you have to also study them, understand them. What is the best way to reach out to them? What is the best way to effect change, get them to open up? So unless you are collaborating with other organizations who have been working at the grassroots level, how will you understand that? You could be trying to work in an extremely patriarchal segment of the world where you're trying to do some good for women, but those women are not allowed to step out of their homes. So you need to understand, how do I approach them? Do I approach the husbands? Do I approach the parents? Do I approach them through a community, village head, community head? How do I convey this thing? What sort of various elements? That understanding is going to come through people who have already studied that, right? Over and above whatever study you do. So collabs across the value chain are extremely important. So for example, when you have this organization called Amplio, this enterprise called Amplio. What they are doing is that they are creating job opportunities where they are matching. It is outside Atlanta in the US. This couple moved there to this community, and they realized that there were a lot of refugees in the area, and they are trying to create. There are various, motivations. And for example, when you have Amplio, there is this organization called Enterprise called Amplio, and what they are trying to do outside Atlanta in the US is that they are trying to create a, they have created a platform to get match job opportunities with refugees in the area. This couple moved to this area and they realized there was a very large refugee community. They understood, interacted with them, tried to understand what their motivations are, cultural aspects, and now they are trying to play this catalyst and to create this match of job opportunities in this segment. Now, there is another social enterprise with a very different model called Justy. Now, this gentleman, he started, he was on a trip to Kenya and he tasted certain coffee, certain teas out there. And he realized that, not too many people were aware of this, and that tea had a flavor which would be very, very popular, commercially and also locally. But the local community which was harvesting this had not really focused on it. So he started this Just Tea, and it's doing really well, and both locally and in the commercially elsewhere. So here the model has created, taken something from the local community which was already there, but the local community themselves was not exploiting it to its fullest potential. And here this gentleman who was passing through liked something, has enabled, has not only created a livelihood opportunity for them, but also, created the social impact, which is going to create the sense of pride, the sense of, confidence over and above just, poverty alleviation from a resource which was already there, being grown there, but not fully tapped yet. Now, a lot of these, as I said, could be profit, not for profit. When I was giving you the example of Clean Canteen, which is, a response to your single-use plastics, they have been tripling their, their sales multiplied significantly in years soon after operations began. So it is not essential that things have to be only not for profit. No, money is bad. Money is needed, money is essential, but it has to be cultivated in an ethical and positive manner. So then you also have, at a very, very basic human need level, while, we see jokes and everything about it, but in Mumbai, in a city like Mumbai, for example, we are aware of Sulabh International, which has created this chain of public toilets. Now, there's a basic need for sanitation which was not met, for basic human dignity which was not met. And creating this has responded to that, So it's a very big venture which those of us who have access to, proper toilets may scorn upon and say, it's what's the big deal? But think about someone, to whom this basic human dignity has been denied. So it is not simply a matter of one motivation or another motivation. It is a matter of really catering to various different needs across the human, social, planetary spectrum. Having a great idea is fantastic, and we will be discussing in another chapter how ideas, great ideas are, where change begins. But unless those ideas are systematically implemented and executed, you think of your strategy through and through, right from the investor funding point of view, to your collaboration, to your prototype, to your testing, to your implementing, to your adapting, to expanding. Unless you have a very, very systematic approach, you may have an idea which may be very noble, but which may not succeed, or may have a flash in the pan kind of success, and then you have to give it up. We have seen not just flash in the pan, we have seen good, sustainable ideas have had to wind up at some point of or the other for various reasons. So having a clear strategy and systematic approach becomes very, very important. Now, Also, when we are talking about social enterprise, also when we're talking about ideas, entrepreneurs, we've spoken about Nobel laureates, right, from Dr. Yunus to Malala Yousafzai to, we're talking about celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So while we're talking about all of this, social enterprise doesn't need superstars all the time. It could come from anyone and everyone. Another thing, you don't have to be 40 and 50 and 60 years old to come up with a great idea and to execute it and implement it. We'll be seeing enough examples of people who started their social enterprise at age 11, at age 18. So for example, the ocean cleanup, which of course is the mission is to clean and depollute the oceans, was started by someone who was all of 18 when, he came up with that and, started working on it. So your idea, you don't have to think that I have to be 40 or 50 or 60 to have this. If you have a good idea and if you have the knack for having a systematic approach, then doesn't matter if you're young or older, doesn't matter if you are, already an established person or someone starting out. Ideas should have the proper approach to succeed. Infrastructure becomes extremely important, and there also the role of governments becomes very important. The role, idea for collab becomes very important. Now, in a country like India, where most of the population is in the rural segments, majority is in the rural segments, or even in countries like Africa, etc., so many good ideas and social enterprises have died an early premature death because of something as simple as bad roads. You had a great idea, but you couldn't take it to your eventual beneficiary because the roads were so bad or so remote in certain parts that despite having everything, you just could not reach there. So infrastructure, not just in terms of technological infrastructure, not just in terms of your infrastructure for your immediate space, but infrastructure at a national, international level, these things become very important for small business owners because these are not things which they can work on themselves. So maybe a very large corporation which is doing some CSR can build roads in areas they are working in. But smaller business owners can't do that, right? So they have to ensure that they are participating and networking in these larger communities so that the message reaches the people who are making these changes, the governments, the policy makers, the corporations that can create this infrastructure are listening to them. Hence, visibility becomes very important. Hence, communication becomes very important. Hence, becomes very important the need for data. Data which is presented in an informative and authentic manner and in an empathetic manner, because data is fine, but you have to appeal to some human empathy element for people to be able to want to deploy resources and time and policy towards creating this larger infrastructure. So all of these elements put together are what will create lasting social impact. And we continue to see through various models and examples that there is nothing tried and tested or formula based when it comes to social enterprise across countries, across regions, communities, genders, etc. The innovations that can have a lasting impact are infinite. Thank you.